recording's going.
All right, it's 1:30 p.m. and I'm calling the steering committee meeting to order. We're at the Festival Hall Conference Center in Cedar City, Utah, and the date is August 9th, 2023. Welcome, everybody, and if we would please do a little roll call, starting with you, Commissioner Cousins.
Paul Cousins, Arnold County Commissioner.
Gil Unquist, Washington County Commissioner.
Nanette Billings, Hurricane City Mayor.
Celeste Myers, Kane County Commissioner and Acting Chair.
Brian Theriot, Fife County.
Nolan Davis, Milford City Mayor.
Tyler Fells, Beaver County School District.
Gary Zabriskie, Fife County Association of Governments. Let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3.
Joey.
4, 5, 6. We don't have a quorum yet.
Not yet. Anybody online?
Anybody online?
Just Henry right now, so we're going to have to pause until we...
Hi, Henry. We're just lacking a quorum, so we can't quite actually open the meeting yet. We're just pretending. You got anybody to call?
I'm just happy to be here. Hopefully get everybody together in the next few minutes.
Yeah, so can we call anyone? Lyle Golding, or... Orderville Mayor's not here.
And Mayor Green.
Do you have Mayor Green's contact info?
I do.
Okay, somebody text them.
Should I see if he's coming?
And they've all been sent the Zoom link, so if they can get on their phone.
And the Garfield County School Board member was going to join Zoom.
We don't have a quorum yet. Exclamation point, exclamation point. Hey Siri, text Lionel Golding. Mayor, are you coming today? Question mark. We are lacking a quorum.
By 2.
By 1. Well, isn't he really voting member?
No. He's with the university.
Okay, who else can we call? Is it
Mayor? Everybody's right there.
Oh, good.
One, two, three.
We
got it.
So we have two more.
One, two, four.
We are just going to pretend like that opening that we just did was valid at the time.
Hey, Mayor, there's food down there.
I just ate.
Okay.
Mayor, could you please say your name for the roll call?
Garth Green, Mayor of Cedar City.
Thank you.
Good.
Burke?
Burke Staley, Washington County School District.
Thank you. Wonderful. So we have a quorum. That's fantastic. Please allow me to take a point of privilege real quick just to write back the mayor I was nagging.
I like how you said that. We have a quorum. That's fantastic.
Right? I mean, clearly.
Not the fact that we have a quorum, but
I like my adjectives.
Yeah. Especially since Mayor Green's here.
Now we're going to do something really important and have the Pledge of Allegiance. And who would like to lead it today? Would anyone particularly like to? Thank you.
I will. Sure. Please address the flag and of our heart. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. I like that enthusiasm.
I like Henry's standing up. That was like...
That was impressive.
Right.
Good job, Henry.
I tried to move my camera angle so you didn't all see my midsection.
You stood tall. You were lovely.
We just saw the hand over the heart.
Yeah.
So.
Proud American.
Exactly.
And now we'll take a minute to review and approve the draft minutes that we have from June 14th, 2023. Are there any amendments proffered or motions to be made?
So motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Thank you, Mayor. And is there a second?
I'll second that.
Very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And motion carries unanimously. Next, we're on to the Fife County Financial Risk Management, and this looks like it'll be presented by Brian.
Yes, so inside your packet here on page 14, every year, each public entity has to go through a fraud risk assessment, and Fife County, we've gone through our fraud risk, and we totaled up our points to 305, which puts us right at a moderate, right in the middle of fraud risk. And Allison, our chief financial officer, and myself signed off on that. Areas that we can improve on is the board members to take that video that's available out there and a couple of trainings that Allison could be doing. Yes, Commissioner?
On your licensed or certified CPA, blah, 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 as part of its management team, is the management team employees only?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would propose, if it's legal, that you have one public member at large and that you put our CPA audit firm, have a member of their firm on it.
Okay.
So that we get those 20 points.
Perfect.
And actually, I'll bring up that I've taken the trainings at training.auditor.utah.gov, and I wouldn't be surprised if most of us...
Oh, all of us have taken open up.
Have you all?
The board. So what I think needs
I can
happen,
give it.
I've had it so many times I could teach it.
So I think what happened was we just need to make sure that if somebody emails and says, will you send us your certificate, then we just upload it, send it to you if you have one, because we've all done it.
Yeah. Okay. But we have to.
Or maybe send the link out to everyone and say, can you please do it if they haven't?
I've done.
How about members of the school board?
We do it too? Same group, different.
All right. And the mayors?
Yeah. We do it twice, actually.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, just twice?
We do it for the government and the school board association.
So that next time, that will add 20 points right there.
For both of those, and then you're out of the moderate, you're into the...
The low.
And in fact, they might amend it for you.
Okay. And we could do it. It's due by the end of the year.
Oh, okay. Well,
as soon as it's due. So we'll work on getting that.
This does require a motion. Yeah. And so perhaps if someone wanted to make a motion that included that change.
Well, I'll make a motion that we continue it. And then he reaches out to each person, and we email him the certificate, and then we can just add it to it.
Yeah.
Also, I like Gil's suggestion, so that we actually have that other person there to put those on there. Yeah, we can do that before the end of the year.
And you can have a suggestion, and we can follow up with our approval to see if it's legal to have a at-large member on the team, the management team, and then if it's legal, just have one of our accountants on there.
That's another check and balance.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
They have another
and
front accountant.
Just they may want to not have any conflict of interest, so make a person not part of the audit team, but still part of the firm, the at-large member.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with the obesity discussion we had earlier.
Okay, so we will follow up with getting your certifications and that.
I'm certainly not making a motion or suggesting an amendment to a motion, but just for discussion, do we want to require the sending of the certificates to Brian and all of that, or is it fairly well accepted as a matter of course that we all have submitted to the training?
I like what Mayor said, and then going forward we ought to probably have you request those as we get them, but I've had that training like 6 times already, so I'm happy to say with Commissioner and Chair Myers that you just check it. Because we've had it.
Okay.
And if they want to call us all liars, we'll go before the legislature and say,
we will add it in.
Essentially,
I'm good with that.
Essentially, we're in a situation like if a student goes to medical school and he gets a C average and he graduates, what is he called at that point? He's called a doctor.
A doctor.
Well, right now we're a C average, so we're still passing, but we could get a B. It's almost impossible to get an A on this thing, unless you have your CFO go every year for 40 hours of training. That's just not realistic, but some of the standards they have on here. But we could get that by doing what you just said it here, can get to a B, which is good. I mean, it's not, but everybody has to have an A.
We're above average.
If you can get the management team to include the CPA,
yep.
They go get the 40 hours. You yeah. mark that yeah. box,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got an MA fillings.
I have a master's degree. I just don't have a
motion. Can I accept the friendly amendment? And good. I think he's
second.
And so,
okay, very good. I'm going to call in for the vote. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, that motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 5 is Moderate Income Housing Report Appeal Board Appointee. And looks like there's a suggestion of Nate Weiberg.
Yeah, that's on page,
he's not here,
page 15 if you have it.
I can't defend it.
So,
Brian, you're finished.
Yeah, so the Department of Workforce Services, Housing and Community Development, under Utah statute, code, whatever it is, each region is supposed to come up with a name for the Moderate Income Housing Appeal Board appointee. And I'm just suggesting Nate Weiberg because he does this.
He's the most knowledgeable one we have. Can I get a little background on this, Brian?
I just want to add two other things. So this is for Title 17 for the counties and then Title 10 for the cities. And I don't know who the cities, there's going to be like 3 members. I don't know who those others are. So the state is just asking for 5 county to come up with a name. So go ahead, Gary.
Okay. Alyssa Gamble, who was our community planner until she left because her husband moved to Salt Lake and she was hired by the state. She's actually the Moderate Income Housing Program Manager. That's who this memo on page 15 and 16 came from. What this is state law in the changes that the legislature did in affordable housing planning that they grade you based on whether or not you have policies in your, that follow state law and that. And that's her job is to go through all those things that you have in your plans and your semi-annual and your annual reports that you have to submit to them. And they determine whether you're in compliance or not. If they determine you're not in compliance and they send a letter of non-compliance that you're not complying with these, and you say, well, I think we are, and there's a disagreement, you can appeal that to the, you can either come into compliance if you realize you're not in compliance and agree with them, but if you don't agree with them and you think you are, you can appeal it. Well, there's never been an appeal body. So the legislature set this up so that there's now an appeal body, and if you look down at the bottom, it will have, let's see, well, it says in here that the appeal body, maybe this doesn't have it, there is somebody from the Utah Association of Counties, there's somebody from a county commissioner that's not in that region, then in the region where that appeal comes from, let's say it came from Kanab City or Cedar City, that the appeal, then it would be some individual from that region. We're recommending, because of his knowledge of affordable housing planning, that be Nate Weiberg. He's worked in, written a lot of these affordable housing plans, and he knows how to research, the compliance on there. So the likelihood of an appeal ever taking place is very slight. He was more than willing to accept this because he said, well, that probably will never happen. Well, that's true, but you set up an appeal body just like you have in your cities and towns and counties for an appeal for, conditional use permit things and all. You used to call them boards of adjustment. Now it's an appeal authority. It's the same idea. You may never need them, but you have them in place if you do need them. So that was the reason why we came up with his name, and he's willing to do this.
Not a surprise.
It's a low.
I'll move to appoint Nate Weiberg as Moderate Income Housing Report Appeal Board appointee.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next, sounds exciting. A95 area-wide clearinghouse review, proposed Sitla land sale of a lot in Bryanhead Town.
Okay, and this one is on page 17 with the green numbers at the top of the page there. This is a Sitla notification that just came in, and what it is it's a small parcel of land up. I sent it out with the other part of it here, but it's only 0.43 acres. It's adjacent to an existing, it's in a subdivision up there. I contacted the town of Bryanhead, and they have no opposition whatsoever to the sale. It's just cleaning up a inholding that Sitla had within the town there. It is a buildable lot up there in Bryanhead, and so they recommended that this body support that.
So any discussion on that?
I know they do a lot more of the current rate and stuff like that. There's no conflict of interest or anything like that, is there, on who's purchasing it, or they just put it up for sale?
It'll be a sell in November. There's a whole bunch of sales. There's a bunch in Kane County that we reviewed before here, and they're to the highest bidder, so there's not an individual thing. Now, the one in Kane County is a little different because you made that comment, and it's in the minutes, that the one up on the East Zion was, we know who the surrounding property owners are, and who's probably going to be the one most willing to do it, but honestly, it's up to the highest bid, so could be outbid by somebody, but in this case here, this is the highest bid in November, so.
Yeah, and in speaking with Sitla, it sounds like they used to have a policy of almost never selling, and then with the change in leadership that they've had, and just with the change also in the market, they're starting to be more and more amenable towards sale, and so that's what's happening now, is kind of the backlog of things that, that were waiting for a policy change, and now there's been a policy change, and stuff that they probably would have sold decades ago, they're finally selling.
Well, and you're right, though, because in my career, I've seen it go where their preference was to lease it for like an extended period, like a 100-year lease on the land, but now it's like, no, we're going to get the money now, not lease it and get an annual payment on it. We're going to get the money right now. Mm-hmm. I think they feel that they can invest the money better than getting a lease payment every year for 100 years. So.
Bird in the hand.
Yeah.
So this one does require a motion and a vote, so I will entertain a motion.
I move that we have a favorable motion to allow Sitla's land sale of a lot in Bryanhead Town to be put on the sale block.
Don't get denied. I mean, this side is like doing all the motioning. What's going on?
I'll second
that motion. So the motion to make it clarify that it's to support the sale.
Yep. Like,
they don't ever ask for permission to do anything. But this is Sitla we're talking about here. So.
Recommendation.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. And all those in favor?
Aye.
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 None opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Now to the CDBG, which stands for Community Development Block Grant, Policies and Procedures, and Rating and Ranking Approval. Gary, take it away.
Okay, I'll get off. Well, maybe I won't.
This meeting was running too smoothly anyway. I was getting bored.
Henry's gone.
What happened?
Yeah. We'll be back.
Cindy Bullock with Chris Stewart's office texted and said she's running a little bit late, but she's trying to get here.
She was on yesterday, too.
Yeah. We talked to her this morning.
Was there a good turnout on the ride yesterday?
There was.
In weather?
Yeah.
No lightning?
Was awesome. No.
Last year we had lightning and rain.
No
so.
Rain. It was beautiful.
Good.
The temperature was perfect.
Good.
Very nice.
Good.
Good. So how many people not from their area were here?
Probably 40.
40? Good.
Yeah.
Probably the most fun they've had in a decade.
Probably the soonest. Well, and we went to Johnson Ranch up on Solana Canyon, up on Gooseberry Road. The day before, and they shotguns and they your horses, something else. I'm trying to think of the other activity they did.
It's like a dude ranch.
Right? They love it. Things they've never, I mean, these kids, all of these. So these staffers are 25 to 32. Just out of college, never had jobs. This is like they're in charge of helping with policy. So it was good for them to kind of see another part of the country.
God's country.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That briefing is so exciting that the president wanted to come. So I'll be in Utah tomorrow.
But he's just doing a flyover.
No, flyover. Over the limits.
Here she is. Hi.
Cindy?
That's still looking up. I was really impressed at how Commissioner Jerry, how he went through this ruler of 36 inches, and there's 1 inch of the 3% of the public land, and then all the state and CITLA, not CITLA really, he went through the state and the BLM and the, yep, and all, then the federal lands, and how it's distributed, and their tax base of that 1 inch is as much as the entire other portion. That's where they get their 2 cents of money, really.
Yeah, I get 3% land to use and live on and everything else, and the other 97%, forget it.
34 to 38 cents on the dollar for their pill, and they're really, it's really affecting them. So we need to talk to the staffers about policy and how when you make this kind of policy, how it affects small counties, and when you take away the land and opportunity, and then you want us to maintain roads and then have
search and rescue.
And they talked about the search and rescue and how people are volunteers. There's a lot of counties that don't have volunteer search and rescue. There's just 100% volunteer.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, they won't let you have roads on these monuments and such.
Right.
And so you've got to fly. Well, guess what? Helicopters are way more expensive than an ambulance or a truck or anything.
Yeah. So it's harder and harder to get volunteers.
They have 100 in Brown County, which I was super impressed.
Wow.
Yes. And he says we use them all the time.
Oh, I bet they do.
Just their EMS, they use a couple of times a day.
I suggested to Commissioner Taylor, he always has that yardstick that shows the different coloring, right? I've always said, you need to make a tie out of that so when the folks are back in D.C., they all wear the same tie. It's just this color code right here.
That's a good idea.
Well, in all of their states, you're going to show 99% of it is public land, and there's 1% that's.
I apologize. I just picked the cord, and I think I broke the cord. Are you still able to hear us, Henry?
Yes, I can, and I can see the screen.
Okay, we just canceled ourselves. That's good. So. I'll try to do this a little more careful here. So, apologize for that. So what we've brought back to you is the same thing we brought back in June with a few minor tweaks to it. We had the discussion with the steering committee in June about a few of the policies. Most of the changes in the rating and ranking policy here deal with changes of dates from last year's dates to this year's dates on here. But a few of the ones we did change is throughout the document it referred to the steering committee, and we've made a change from that to be the regional review committee because that's what HUD uses. It's a term that they have, and it can be anybody, not just the steering committee. In some regions, they have a separate designated rating or regional review committee. But in our region, we determined the steering committee, when I say we, it's this body that determined that they will be the regional review committee that aligns it with the HUD language.
Can you define HUD? I know.
It's the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. That's where community development block grant funding comes to the state of Utah from.
What page are we on?
It's page 18 of the book, the three numbers at the top.
Thank you.
And this is my little crib note that I had Nate prepare for me here. But we had a discussion back in June about taking away the complete limit on what you could apply for, and we didn't feel that there were, and in discussion we've had with other communities, there wasn't really an appetite to take it completely away, because then we'd have one community that could maybe come in and apply for the whole pot of money, and none others could apply. But right now the cap is $350,000, so staff, we've discussed this, we talked to Brian about it. We think that we should raise it to $500,000. That would allow for two projects if they came in for the full amount. Now, some projects may come in for less than that, and we might be able to get three projects funded in a year. It just depends on what the application amount is. And then there was discussion, so we're recommending it go up to $500,000 for a single project. There are no multi-year projects anymore. The state's eliminated us having that ability. We used to do that where we'd give 250 1 year, 250 the next year. That worked, like with the housing authority up here in Cedar City, that worked really well because they can plan it over a 2 year period. There was a discussion back in June about, well, if they get the full amount, they couldn't apply for 5 years, and there was talking about, the discussion was, well, what about, would that apply just to that entity or the whole county? And some said, well, maybe it should apply to the whole county. Henry can see me there. Now he can see me. But anyway, our thought was on here that it's self-protecting because you won't get a contract. If you apply this fall and the applications are due by the first part of January and then you're rated and ranked by this body in the March or maybe early April meeting, you know, one of those two meetings, the state doesn't send a contract out and you're not under contract for that CDBG program year until late June or early July, you cannot apply the next year if you have not spent down at least 50% of your CDBG funding by the next time the applications are due. So no one's going to be 50% spent down by the next cycle. So automatically for the next year, they're not eligible to apply because they wouldn't be able to spend down that money in that short period of time on their construction project. They still have to go out and do the environmental for it, put the thing out to bid, hire a contractor, all that kind of stuff. So by the time the next application cycle applications are due, they wouldn't be spent down. So automatically, it would be 2 years out before that entity could apply again. So we don't feel that there's a need to put anything in there that says you can't apply the next year because they wouldn't be able to apply the next year. Another change we put in here is that we've moved the deadline for them consulting with the AOG would be November. So the end of November, if they haven't contacted the AOG staff to work with us to see if they need to do a survey for if their community's not low to moderate income eligible to do a community-wide project. If they haven't consulted with us by the end of November, they're not eligible because we don't have enough time from the 1st of December through the, when the application would be due, the first week of January for them to get everything put together. It's right in the holiday time and all that kind of stuff. So that's a hard, fast deadline that we've put in there. The next is move the initial application submission for AOG review from January 13th to December 22nd because for the same reason. Go ahead.
Gary, you said end of November, but you have here November 1.
I think that's what he meant. Okay. Up to November. Okay. That's correct. November 1.
Okay.
I'm going by his notes. He didn't have a number on here. I was assuming it was the end of November.
You said the initial application is due by December 22nd. When was it normally? I don't see it.
January 13th. It's not on there.
Okay.
I'm reading the notes to go along with it that he put in red of the changes for me to read. So.
Okay.
That's a tough date, just so you know, because people go on vacation.
The change to the allocation for the AOG for the admin as well as the consolidated plan and the community planning that we do with CDBG would go up by $2,000 from $98,000 to $100,000. That would be pre-approved funding. We just have to do that to incrementally increase each year for inflation, the cost of labor, and all those kind of things like that. Set aside funding, this is important here, is the emergency application that this steering committee approved for the Iron County Fire Truck Project is taken off of next year's coming allocation. So $350,000 will be coming off of this coming year's allocation because you guys approved that as a quote emergency application. So just so you'll be aware of that. And so we have to reflect that in the rating and rank guidelines here, is that there's a pre-approved project on there.
So with the $1 million, you're saying subtract that prefix.
Yes. Yep. So we'll have approximately $650,000. Yeah. Correct.
Then, just for my understanding, on page 23, the header says Five County Association of Governments CDBG Rating and Ranking Program Year 2022. Is that correct?
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, okay.
That's why this is a draft. So.
All right.
But you've got it on the record and on the report here, so.
Okay.
But those are the only major things to it. This thing doesn't change very often because we've got it as pretty much as good as it can be, and it's just little incremental things that change down here.
So, serving as chair, I don't have the ability to make motions. For me, when I look over item 16, which is on page 26, regarding civil rights compliance, if I were to make a motion, I wouldn't want all of that in there. Applicants will receive points for compliance with federal laws, executive orders, which we all know are very subjective, and regulations, which again are not subject really completely to law. It's just bureaucratic thing, or it can be related to civil rights. And if it were me, I would push back against that a little bit. A little bit too much like DEI for me, diversity, equity, and inclusion, ESG, woke, etc.
Those on the civil rights compliance, that's a HUD requirement that we give points for those items. So,
is it required or is it just a suggestion?
No, it's not a suggestion. The civil rights compliance is a requirement, and when a community or a county applies for CDBG, they have to certify they're in compliance with all those things. It's been that way as long as I've been doing this since 1993.
So it is just that the executive orders and regulations have changed significantly from 1993.
No, I know. Yes.
So you're saying that this exact wording here in number 16 is not subject to change?
Correct.
I may have missed it. Do you have the dates of the workshops?
I do not.
That's not out yet. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So this will be on this.
Okay. Okay.
What number is that?
Page 22 on the top. It just says to apply. First thing required is attendance at one workshop within the region is mandatory, and then attendance at the workshop by an elected official or town. So you'd probably need one of your city people. And
yeah, that's every year. It's the same. Yeah. It's called the how to apply workshop. Yeah. Is what they call it. Yeah. So.
Chair. May I direct a question to Gary? Page 21. Thank you for putting page numbers on, by the way. Item 20, it says grantees who are awarded CDBG funds and then don't carry through the project. Is there somewhere else listed what that time frame is? I know you say here follow-in program in a year and that they can't reapply for the same project, but I think we ought to tell them what that time frame is.
It depends on when the contracts come out. And I don't do CDBG on a day-to-day basis. I'm trying to remember what it was, but
and do they come in and say, well, we want the funds and we're going to start March of 24, and then do we give them a year to start?
They have 18 months from the time the contract is issued by the state to complete a project.
Let's put that in there.
That's a state policy. We don't have to put that in ours because the state puts it in the contract with the applicant if they're funded.
So they'll see it later.
Yeah.
All right.
And then if they back out at that point, they can't apply again for that in that program year. That's what it says right in here. So.
Then I would put in here just because we want to help those applying, say, as per the required timeline in the state contract.
Okay.
Just to add that in there, because then it refers them to something. People don't read those contracts. Their attorneys might, but they don't. I don't know. You know, it's like you go in to get a...
That is covered in the How to Apply workshop, though. It does explain that to the entities, but yeah. We'll put that in here. As per the state contract, 18 months.
Well, as my high school teacher said, most of you only listen about 50% of the time. So they may miss it in the workshop, too. Thank you for just putting in a reference.
Thank you.
Let's double. Make it half in the
workshop
and half on the conference. Was there any other input? Do you want a motion? I move that we approve the policies and procedures and rating and ranking criteria as brought forward in the documents that we were given today, including some of the requested changes or additions. Not some of them, all of them.
I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have the presentation about the receiving center in Washington County. Can't wait to hear more about that.
Well, I don't have a presentation, but as with the mayor, with the mayors in our mayor's association meeting that we're going to have with the five counties, because all the mayors are now, there's a new association for the mayors. We are having Chris Charter, I think is his name. He is the new receiving director. I met with him. I just stopped in and visited with him, and he's willing to talk to all the mayors and tell them about it. So I'll just kind of give you a brief overview. They're waiting on some AC units. And they're hoping that by
they came
October,
yesterday.
Did they come?
They put them on the roof yesterday.
Okay, so he was saying October, but he said maybe September if we're really lucky, so that's awesome to hear. But what the receiving center is, what it is just a crisis center for all of you to be able to have a place that if someone needs to come in for some type of a, it can be for detox, it can be if they have a crisis, a mental breakdown, it can be, there's multiple reasons that they can come there. If they get on a medication or meet with a counselor, or it's a very limited amount of time that they would stay there. So similar to going to the hospital but not going to the hospital, similar to going to jail but not going to jail. So it's to give them a place to kind of breathe, have some help with coping skills, and then get back into life is really... Am I explaining it in a good way? That's the way he
yes.
explained it to me. They're hoping that they will, I know they have about 16 beds on one side. And
yes, those are, you can stay in the chairs or lazy boy chairs in
24 hours.
Less than 24 hours.
Okay.
generally around 23. But if the therapist or psychologist or whoever determined that you need longer time, you can go across the hall and be assigned to a room.
But it's only for a few days. They're not
yeah.
like people staying like a week or 10 days or months.
Exactly.
Would you bring yourself in?
Yes,
or
you
would
can.
People bring
yes,
both?
No, and it's
both.
Not exactly.
Well, just get encouraged. This is a...
It is. It's okay. Really to learn coping skills and to help them get on their feet so they can figure out how to...
function
and
they got LCSW
mental health.
In there.
Say it again.
LCSW. They got social workers.
They do. They what? Full-time, like nurses, the social workers, and therapists on staff, which,
yep.
And full-time cook and food. They're trying to help with those needs. Clothing. They're trying to help them move forward with wherever they're at so they can get on top of it. And if they have to get on a medication or take something because they aren't on a medication and they've missed it, it's really to help them be able to.
And so how many times could one person, like, do you have to go and then you can't come again for another 6 months or a year?
It's not like that.
So someone could temporarily come there every night?
No.
There's some regulations.
They're working out that policy in particular, but to put a question and statement about can you self-check in, it is not a halfway house. It is not switch point.
Sure.
You are there because you barely make it through the door, not because I need a place to stay tonight. That you'll be sent somewhere else for that.
Does law enforcement have any opportunity to bring people there?
Oh, that is the primary.
That's the reason.
That's who we really want.
It's kind of for those that they say we can take you to jail, or if you're willing to go get help, or you can go here, right?
Yeah, it's all
in our county. That's the only option that they have. If they get out there on the freeway with the crazy, they have to bring them to jail.
Yes.
And then assess from there. And the problem is once they get put into custody, it really makes it hard to get them to receiving or anything like that. So,
mental health has not been addressed well enough in our state, I believe. And I have a very personal story because my brother has been on drugs since he was 12. He's in the state mental hospital right now. And if he would have probably been able to maybe receive help, you never know what circumstances, but I'm just saying, instead of jail and then get out in jail, and I just think sometimes just having somebody help him cope and figure out what to do. So we're hoping to see some different things. But this is available to all of your counties to bring people here. It is not
where
just...
Where is the facility?
Good question. So right by the DMV in Hurricane, so off of I-15, if you come into Hurricane, right before... If you went to actually our sheriff's office where Purgatory is, it's before that. So it's right at the DMV and driver's license division.
Towards the ABC Park, isn't it?
Yeah, right there.
It's got tattoos.
Well, there's 16 chairs, and there's 16 rooms. That just happens to be the numbers. It's not because they automatically go from one to the other.
Right. It's just to help. But it is available, so we want people to know about it.
When you're done.
Thank you.
Just one question I have. So would it be helpful for the staff there if Workforce Services came in and educated them on employment services and offered some help with that? Would that be appropriate?
And I actually think it'd be good if we had Chris Charter come and do something for this group. For the mayors this month, we are having him jump on a call with us because we have a Zoom call. So we don't meet individually. We just started last month, so it's brand new. I just got put in this chair, thanks to Chris Daly. So Brian and I met and said, what are some of the needs in our community and how can we help so all the mayors know the resources? And this was the first one that I put on the list. And so we've lined out the next year. But I think that we could get Chris to jump on this call and maybe do that. If we want to schedule that for next time, I think it'd be really good for us to do.
There's been quite a bit of request and interest within our county for everyone to know what all the resources are. Like for example, the person who runs our aging services to know what the, because there's such a big amount of overlap. I mean, someone might come in for a senior center activity and it turns out they need some mental health support as well or something like that. It'd be good to have like a greater coordination meeting or a tour of the facility or just in general, like everybody present what resources there are for like some kind of little mini convention powwow.
Yeah.
Well, this is the only facility south, and so it really is the answer for you.
Closest we got is Provo Canyon.
So is it state funding, county, or how?
Yes, we got some state funding for it. The county gave up the land. And you're welcome.
Thank you.
Then we have some ongoing funds out of behavioral health that are dedicated to it. So it's a combined effort, state, local.
Who's the director?
His name's Chris Charter.
Okay, that's the
And what are we looking at as far as demand and availability?
It's going to be interesting to see. We don't know.
The demand will probably within a month exceed the ability. Because it'll become a good option for police officers who say, this guy just made some really bad decisions. In 2 days he needs to probably be back to work because he has a family or whatever. I'm not taking him to jail.
It's like the guy that was in the mud puddle today.
That mud puddle guy, yes.
We had a a person on the run in our county today, and the alert came out, you know, that he had just been in the creek trying to hide, and so he'd be covered in mud. And yeah. Look for a guy covered in mud, and that's the suspect.
He had just watched Dances with Wolves the night before, so that was his way of hiding. Couldn't find a dead buffalo. To answer your question, they can't just keep coming back every night. There has to be some solution. So Dave is talking about work. There will also be those who can say, really, you know, your direction needs to be here. But the option is, look out this window. You're going to go to jail.
Right down the street.
Or you're going to go to the DMV, which is about the same. So which do you want? Or do you
the
want
racetrack.
To straighten up? Or the racetrack, yeah. And they can't come back if they have completed a CDBG grant form and have not completed that within 18 months. That's also a penalty.
Oh, no.
Well, and I love the way our county has addressed homelessness. Because honestly, if you are looking at having someone come in and you're teaching them to fish, because these people are working at a doggy daycare or a thrift store or maybe the hydroponic, you know, growing something, they're learning to do something, and then they're transitioned from this nightly something that they're having to come in every day to stay there to a place that they can afford because they're learning to work and take care of themselves. And so there's a transitional period. And I love that because instead of just giving them a fish, you're teaching them. And that's they're also going to have that option to go and ask some help at our switch point, which I'm hoping helps people get on their feet. Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
Get them a CDL, they'll have a job tomorrow.
But if we want to get a hold of Chris Charter and have him come, I think it'd be good. He can do a much better justice than me.
He couldn't make it today.
Okay.
Otherwise
sorry, I'm only I did go and meet him. I spent an hour and a half with him. I just stopped by, thought it was open. The door was unlocked when I got there. I walked in and said, hey, can I visit? And we really would love to have you explain this to all the mayors in the five counties. So we can talk to all your mayors, too.
Yeah. Good job, Mayor.
Very good. So, thank you for that. And now, another important update. I can't handle that. Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy said that they. You may call me Todd.
We're kind of back.
Brian?
Are we good now? So Nate Weiberg, who's on the 5 and 6 county congressional ride, that happens Sunday to, well, end tomorrow, really, tonight. They'll be in St. George. But anyway, on Sunday, this past year, we've been working with you as a board, the state of Utah, to put together our next 5-year economic strategy in the region. So we've worked with your economic development directors, and so this draft will be out for public comment for 30 days, and it's on the 5-county website. And we will be sure to circle back with your directors, economic directors, and
Can you also email it to us because sometimes they don't get on their website. And I may never find it.
Yeah, and it's just Nate's not here right now, but he wanted to get it on so we can get our 30-day public comment period. But we will get it to you. Yes.
Would you, Brian, also, whether it's Hurricane or any other cities that might have something similar, I think you should have a link to your website on our website.
I know.
And because we're reaching 12,000 to 18,000 people, they should be able to go to 5 counties.
Okay.
So talk to...
that would be great, Commissioner.
Talk to Nicole, and our group that does that could easily put you in some sort of a tag.
Okay. Yeah. But mainly wanted you to know that it's out and available for public comment. And then you as a board in October, we will... sign off and on it. So.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. That was the quickest 5 to 10 minutes ever.
Yeah.
Next, number 10, discussion and consensus on relocation of October 11th, 2023 steering committee meeting. Yeah.
Hurricane City.
Well.
Receiving center. So this building in October is not available, so at all. So that's the question that we posed to all of you is where would you like to go? Dr. Blodgett has offered the public health here in Cedar, the county, with your new building down in Washington County. Hurricane City sounds like, so what?
So before this meeting is the Department of Health meeting, and we'll probably have that at Dr. Blodgett, so maybe we should just
stay right there.
Just stay there. That okay. Seems logical.
I'll be home, so I'll just come down, head back up.
Yeah.
October.
Mm-hmm. October 11th. Looks like. So I will coordinate with Dr. Blodgett for the public health.
Here's a call, Southwest Health.
Yeah.
Southwest Utah public
health.
Board. Or Board of Health.
Thank you. That was a big question for us there.
Good. And I don't know if this is an appropriate time for it, but we have a couple of minutes here. It is very, very helpful, especially for me as a commissioner. A lot of the governments run on Google. Receive Google Calendar invites for each event, which includes the location and invites everybody to it. And I prefer to have it well in advance, like the whole year's worth in advance, as soon as the dates and locations are known. And in this instance, for example, if location's going to be changed, it's easy to go into the Google Calendar and change it. And as far as I know, I haven't received
That's why he waited until this meeting, because we need to determine the October. Then they'll be sending one out. But they're also going to find how to turn off the dang Google Team, Google Meet thing, because it automatically sent that out after we had sent the Zoom out, because Zoom is what we were requested to use for the meetings. But when they sent the calendar invite, it sent a Meet thing on there, and then like one of the commissioners said, well, I'll see you on the Meet. And I said, no, it's not Meet, it's Zoom. So.
I understand the challenges with that. Yeah. And also what I'm saying is that it would be very helpful to have it all in advance, and then it's easy enough to change the location once the date is set. Because I know as a commissioner anyway, and I'm sure it's the same for others, we're doing our calendars at least 3 months in advance, if not more. And that's why getting an invitation a week before is...
So we will get this plugged in, and we will finish out to the end of the year.
Okay.
And then we set up our next year. And then January, once we know locations and all of that, we'll just send it out for the rest of the year.
That'd be perfect. Love
that's
it.
Great.
Those are so handy.
Yeah.
And just know, we're trying to learn this Google Calendar. So I didn't want to send out any more to confuse. So,
very good. So, congressional staff updates.
Yeah, the rest are out on the ride.
I know, I was yesterday, but mine's going to be really short. We are kind of starting to wind down at the office. The congressman's last day will be the 15th. They will actually close the physical office. We go under the clerk, so if you're going on tours, we can set those up, but there's no office to go visit because we don't have a member. But we will stay and can do constituent service and outreach. So if you need anything, you can still reach out. We can't do legislation, so it's going to be interesting for a while. And then when we have a new member sworn in, that new member will staff their office and we'll go from there. But I know I've had questions on community project funding. That is the reason the congressman is staying, is to kind of help make sure that that gets pushed through. All of the projects that we are working on are still in the language of the appropriations bill. So still no guarantees, but it's still looking good and everything is progressing as expected.
The 10-week close.
Yeah.
did not understand until our conversation earlier today. I thought this was pushing around money that was from last year, but it's actually future allocations.
Yes, so this becomes part of the president's budget for the 2024 calendar budget year. So the because the House is over the money, it goes there first and they set up the budget and then they coordinate, the House does their changes or does their appropriation, then it goes into the budget and, or into the president, and it becomes part of his overall budget. But the one, you know, that 1% that is set aside for these projects, for community project funding, the president can't change that, but Congress and the Senate can. But usually, by the time it gets to that, it's all done. But
can I ask about the 2023? Did all of the projects that Congressman Stewart, that he was trying to allocate, did the ones that they said, okay, this is what it is, did they all get funded?
They were all funded.
Okay.
I don't know if they've all actually received their checks,
okay,
because it then goes to the agency. So it's, for the example, just, you know, if it's a road project,
yes,
it has to go eventually and down through UDOT.
Okay.
So I don't know if those have actually gone, like, to Cedar City, if they've received their actual funds.
Okay.
So it's trickling down. But if there are specifics that you were looking at, we can help you track those down and figure out where they are.
It's okay. The ones that we've submitted haven't been funded, but I just wanted to see if other people were actually getting their funds, because I didn't see that. So.
Yeah, and some of the agencies have done this more, so they're a little more up to date and figuring it out than some of the others. USDA has been, I mean, there's just different agencies are more streamlined and have it handled a little better than others. So. Yeah, that's it for me.
Well, we appreciate you, Cindy, and I hope
thank
we get
you
to keep you no matter what.
Yeah, this will be my last meeting representing Congressman Stewart. So
thank you all.
Thanks for your hospitality.
Appreciate you.
Well, no matter what happens, it's got to be a little bit sad.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Congressman Stewart. He's done a really good job.
Yeah, yes, especially for us.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for being here. I know it was a challenge with everything else we've had going on this week.
It's all good. Came from Bryce.
Sure. Not everyone in this room may know, but the two senatorial offices and the congressional office will be in the new county building. And they are just about all shelled out, ready to go and get painted and such. So if you need to go and talk to somebody for something, or their staff rather, then they'll be in the county building.
And also the federal staffers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, so Pete Hansen, who's been Senator Reese, he's going back to school and he's not going to be here anymore, and it will be Gary Webster taking Senator Reese's staff in Southern Utah.
He is at the county, but Cole LaCroix, that was there for a little while, has gone back to school. So he is still at Washington County.
Right. He works for us.
Hey. Oh, at Washington County. And it's Cole that went to school.
Cole.
Heath went to Washington County, I was going to say, because they told me Heath was from
England. And Gary Webster, he will go with Lee. His last day with Congressman Stewart is a week from Friday, so whatever date that is, the first is.
Okay. So we'll have good contact.
That's good.
Oh,
I'm not good with
change. And then Kyle.
Change is hard.
Actually, it's Miriam. She's her. Miriam and Kyle are still over our area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Well,
Dave.
Cindy, do you want to talk about? Wait, why are you saying Dave?
Oh, I just thought you were going to state agencies.
Yeah. No, I'm lingering on the congressional staff updates because I'm sad. Did you want to talk about the Grand Canyon Monument?
I can talk about it, but they announced it yesterday. Last I heard, we hadn't seen, I mean, we know how many acres, but I haven't seen the actual proposal, so I don't know much more about it.
I did see it.
Did you see it?
And it looks like, so there's the new Grand Canyon Monument in northern Arizona, which impacts southern Utah, is in three spots directly over uranium deposits, and the most northwestern spot, there's the western side of it is logged off, but then the rest of the proposed monument remains. So it was proposed to be 1.1 million acres, and instead it's 0.8, so something like that. It's close to a million.
Were you able to read it enough to determine if grazing is still...
So that's what the staffers yesterday said. Grazing and hunting, they are going to remain intact.
Okay. And everything that the staffer says, absolutely, we can believe it.
Right.
And take it to the bank.
Yeah, I haven't read that.
They don't know.
Myself, but I do know they were, we were really hoping to keep that.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I'm pulling this up for you here.
But they'll impose new grazing requirements to the point where it's not really worth grazing anymore.
Right.
You can have one cow for every unicorn that you find.
Oh, we made it very clear yesterday to these staffers. When you change grazing, you're changing you getting hamburgers in New York City and your carrots on your salad. Because honestly, you have to have people that are able to have cattle and people that are, you know, taking care of this land.
Yeah.
And yeah, they would
people are like, why is my burger $25?
That is the monument boundaries that they've shown on the public map that they
all over uranium. So
So is that Arizona Sitla land?
That's what it looks like.
I didn't know Arizona had Sitla land.
Yeah,
before.
They do.
They do.
Yeah. Arizona has been blocking up a lot of their state trust lands right below St. George. And so if you look at it, there's a big sheet of blue under there.
Hmm.
One day it could be St. George, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Cindy. I sure appreciate you.
Thank you.
State agency updates. Dave.
Okay. I'll be fast. I brought pictures. Pass pictures around.
That's good. And I don't like meeting all the time.
Right. So I'll let you guys read through this. This just kind of goes over the change in non-farm jobs per county. And
is it a one-sheeter?
I'm sorry?
One-sheeter, and you want us to pass it around?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
There's pictures on both sides. So this just is just a simple graphic that you can reference for our five county region. Right, it goes over the year-to-year change of non-farm jobs. It's got your unemployment rates listed there in the middle of the page, and then housing permits and gross taxable sales per county. If you turn the page over, it's got again some graphs on changes in non-farm jobs and then growth by industry. You can see the highest is information and professional and business services. So that's just kind of a quick, I won't go into all the details of that, but.
Dave, I was looking at this for our county this week, and I didn't know how to read
it. I'm just glad to hear that you were looking at it this week. That makes me feel pretty good.
Well, we have a truth in taxation in our city, and some people were fussing and showing screenshots as proof that we don't need to raise taxes. Look at this.
Okay.
But
you, so which in particular are you talking about?
So this back half on the bottom here, I don't know how to read this. What does it mean?
So this is, so for example, if you look down the middle of that, right? My information is the industry, right?
Uh-huh.
And on the left side, that graph shows that there's 192 jobs. Blue is Washington County, and then there's some little slivers in there that indicate.
This part.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're.
So what are the different colors? Oh, the different colors are.
Yeah. So if you see the counties, see the different county colors up here.
Oh, okay.
They correlate here on this graph on the left and right. So the gray is Beaver County, right? You're looking at professional business services.
So you're saying
two of the that's a year over change, right?
Washington County lost 276 manufacturing jobs. Is that what that's showing?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what that's going to be from? Well, I don't know if it's manufacturing, but that's going to be through Diamond Branch.
That would probably be under the Education, Health, and Social Services.
Okay.
And that's not, that's not in this graph yet, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to read this. How come Washington County lost 276 manufacturing jobs and it's on the positive side? Maybe I'm...
If you're looking at manufacturing for Washington County, the blue is a negative 276 jobs and shrunk 2.7%.
So then you go
in their year over growth.
But why is this one, like this, the line represents zero, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Then how come
that's I would assume it just represents zero.
I don't think it does. I think it...
Well, I think it's just a
baseline. The right is negative on the left. On the left graph,
oh, okay.
The right is negative, and on the right graph, the left is negative.
I see. I need a lot of
help. Yep. That's exactly right.
Because all that other is growth.
Okay.
It's
kind of
the
all right. Thank you.
And if you have, so I'm glad you looked at the information. If you've got any questions about any of this stuff, I want to introduce Jovi. So Joe, stand up. Jovi Shirtliff is our new workforce development specialist. He's in Cedar City and he covers Garfield and Beaver and Iron County. We've got his peer in Washington and King County is Oscar Alba. Both those guys are new. A couple of months on the job, right? They can help you with any questions you might have with this data or any other employment services type thing. Their job is our services to employers, right? To help them hire, to help them understand, to get whatever they need, right? To help them with job descriptions or job postings or labor market information or whatever that is. And we... they're out networking with employers. They are our workforce development secret sauce, right? You can go to Monster, you can go to Indeed, you can go on Facebook, you can look for jobs. We know that 80% of the jobs that are filled aren't ever advertised. And we like to, the job seekers that we have come in, that we serve, we can connect them with a network of employers already and help them get connected, right? So that it's not just what's posted, it's their business relationships that they have that we can leverage. So
with the dwelling unit permits, the fact that Iron County, Washington County, and the entire state of Utah are all down in terms of dwelling unit permits issued, is that year to year. So mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing, it's just they had a huge boom.
Mm-hmm. And then they slowed down just a little bit maybe this year.
So even an adjustment.
And that could be for a lot of reasons. Money, can't find enough contractors, whatever that might be, right?
Interest rates. Garfield's tracking.
Interest rates.
How come Garfield says NA and Beaver says zero?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can find out for you, though.
Well, I'm just wondering.
I don't pay.
This week we have not had a building permit submitted.
Wow.
The whole time I've ever been
harvested.
Yeah.
Wow.
Submitted?
So maybe that's why
it's
submitted.
We've
never had a building permit, but we didn't have one submitted for JDC before.
So you're all built out then?
Yep, we're all built out. All done.
We're going to build a school there. Here we thought we were putting a spot.
Wait till next week. We're going to get 22. That's what our normal, but this is the first week we have not had one. We're really surprised.
Are you looking at more schools? County?
We're going to build a school in Dixie Springs, I think. Right. Two story, kind of a different style.
A high school?
Elementary school.
I reached out to Superintendent Holmes and said, you have to look at Diamond Ranch. They're selling their property.
Yep.
I wish we could buy it. Our city doesn't have the money. And we don't just like bond for something we can't pay for.
That's a good idea.
We're weird people. We stay within our budget.
That's a good idea.
Common sense.
That's
they've already got a football field.
A lot of infrastructure is already there.
Right. They've got a football field, baseball field, two basketball courts, got two pickleball courts. They've got a huge
cafeteria.
Yeah.
With I know we're getting way off sub with all the success we had with the career tech. We could almost put another one there.
Yeah. Seriously.
Do it.
I mean, and they, it ought to be cheap on the dollar.
Let me just tell you, they came in and they actually gave us a really good price. Our, the real estate agent that we have working through it, he said, you will not find land for a better price. And with the infrastructure already done.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And I believe
Mr. Henry. Yeah, I'm going to bring him up here. We lost our video when I kicked the cord out, so I'm going to put him on this.
Good job, Gary.
Looking good.
He's having another.
He's actually there, so. Go ahead and unmute, Henry.
Okay, thank you everyone. I don't have too much to report today, just a couple of save the dates or points of information. We're excited to have the entire legislature visiting Utah Tech University in September for their September interim meetings. To my knowledge, my history, I don't think the entire legislature has left the state capitol for a suite of interim meetings. So we're excited to get the legislature off the Wasatch Front to familiarize them with the issues going on in southern Utah, and that's happening on September 18th and 19th. And like I said, they'll have their full host of interim meetings happening on our campus, along with a variety of site visits. I believe they're working with the Water Conservancy District, I assume the county as well, and so we're excited to bring the legislature and their staff to southern Utah to talk about the issues that are important to us. Another exciting event we have coming up that those from Washington County may have heard about is we are rededicating our Heritage Cove Monument on the Encampment Mall at Utah Tech University. The Encampment Mall is where the original pioneers to St. George settled when they first entered the valley, and we have, with the help of the state, been able to expand and beautify that monument to include a bunch of new information and plaques and monuments that explore and highlight what it is to be Utah's Dixie and the history of Utah's Dixie. And so that event's going to be taking place on September 16th at 9:30 a.m. You're all welcome to attend that event. Following the event, we're going to be premiering a new film that the university, in collaboration with Phil Tuckett, has put together called Preservation in Progress, The Story of Utah's Dixie. So we're excited and anxious to roll out both that film and this new monument and make sure that we're capturing the essence of what Utah's Dixie means to us. And then lastly, this is super local, but I thought I would share here. We've got a exciting city council race happening in St. George, and tomorrow night on our campus at 6 p.m., we have 16 candidates vying for 3 city council seats. Participating in an open house at the Gardner Center, and we're just anxious to hear from them and their ideas for the region. So, not too much to report today, but happy to be with you all and happy to answer any questions if I can be of service.
Henry, you've got your new housing units going up too?
We do. So we've experienced pretty rapid growth, I believe 40% growth over the last 5 years or so. Don't quote me on that specifically, but those are the numbers that come to mind. We built 2 new, roughly 500-bed housing units in the last 3 or 4 years, and we have another unit that's, I believe, 550 beds going up, going into the sky right now. The steel beams are up, and that will take another 12 months to complete, but come August of 2024, we hope to have that building complete.
And is that just student housing, or are you saying in general in your community?
Student. So these units I'm referring to are student housing. There are a variety of private developers that have built housing adjacent to campus in pretty much all directions in the last several years, but we continue to need more housing, particularly married student housing is the real challenge in southern Utah.
Thank you.
Henry, is the mall thing as part of when you made the name change, is that part of that goal that you had to preserve? Is this already coming to fruition?
That's exactly right. So with the name change process, when that process was put in place, the legislature smartly directed the university to develop a heritage committee that would look at ways to preserve and protect the regional meaning of Dixie, both on our campus and in the region. And this is one of the fruits of the labors of that heritage committee. They decided to put some significant dollars that the legislature set aside to rebuild and revamp this encampment mall area. And we're excited to roll that out, like I said, on September 16th at 9:30 a.m.
And Henry, why don't you also say that, give them an update on, for example, the collaboration that you have with Dixie Tech.
Yeah, there's a lot of good work going on with Dixie Tech. President Rushton is the new president up there. I believe he's been in place for about a year. And without getting into too many specifics, President Williams and President Rushton are doing a lot of good work collaborating together. Our cabinets have met together in the last several months to ensure that we're messaging to our community, ensuring that the community understands the differences and similarities between our two institutions, how our institutions are partnering together, and continuing to build out pipelines between our two institutions. So for instance, a student who's interested in receiving a Bachelor of Science in Nursing can begin his or her studies at Dixie Technical College and receive a licensed practical nursing degree, and then take that program and use it to build a bridge to Utah Tech University to receive their bachelor's degree. We've also got a host of other arrangements and agreements like that, articulation agreements, and last I heard, we are fully articulated with Dixie Tech and working really seamlessly with them to ensure that there are pathways in both directions from each of our institutions to one another. The last thing we want is to put up barriers to students who need to be at one or the other institution. So always excited to work with Dixie Tech, Southwest Tech, and all of the technical colleges to ensure that our students can seamlessly transfer between institutions if that's what is best for them.
Well said. Thank you.
Henry, I'm Bert from Washington County School District. We want to start doing some of the same stuff at our new Career Tech. Has anybody approached you about that yet? We're just getting rolling. But has anybody approached you?
I've heard bits and pieces, and Bert, we probably ought to have a conversation with some of your folks and some of our folks to ensure that we're building the right pipelines and that we're partnering wherever possible. I know Kevin Simmons, who's our concurrent enrollment director, has a close relationship with the school district. You probably know that name. Mm-hmm. But I'd be happy to coordinate with you and see what we're already doing and what more we can be doing to
They won't let us stay these on campus yet, but in about a year, I'll come and see you, okay? I'll come find you.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Henry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm just going to open it up for local affairs discussions if needed. We already talked about the Grand Canyon Monument.
One thing that home I thought was neat, that we got the Sugarloaf put on the National Historic Landmarks this week, so it's preserved and saved. And so, the old St. George guy, that's a good thing.
And County GRT put $800,000 into the trail, interpretive trail, on the base of the Sugarloaf, so that those coming in will learn more about Dixieian history there as well. So, well, we're putting our money where our mouth is, both the locals, the heritage committees, and the county. So,
did you tell him Snickle Fritz Gleitz lives up there? My grandma told me. She hid Easter eggs up there.
Oh my God!
So that's not in there. You might need that.
Okay.
Can I also interject that several months ago, the university applied for that same heritage status and received that monument status for the D on the Hill. So now both the Sugarloaf and the D on the Hill have received that National Register listing. It's a great thing for the community.
We had our sandstone ditches, which is registered, and it's pretty cool because we still have a few, and we're going to keep them historical, even with our gutter and sidewalks.
Very good.
Nice. Dedicated.
Yep. Kane County's having our Kane County Fair this week, which is cool. Very important to us, especially to our Long Valley. So,
Perkins Peach Days will be over Memorial Weekend.
Are there peaches this year?
There are.
I think there would be.
Yeah.
Really good ones.
The orange is burning up in Beaver County, hoping for rain.
Yes.
You didn't get any this last time. You didn't get
just the lightning.
Just the lightning, no rain.
I drove through last night, and it looked like, I don't know if any of you ever seen that movie Dune. It looked like a spice worm, and it was smoke worm.
Yeah, it's been pretty. What would you just say visual guide. I mean, you
we
can
had
sit
a lightning
in town and watch them.
Yeah.
You can watch the trees torch.
We had a lightning strike on our hill, on the Hurricane Hill, right by the H. And within 2 minutes, God just said, here. And it just poured rain and put it out. Our fire trucks couldn't even get up there because it was so quick. We were so grateful. Because we hit a whole hill on fire.
Pictures the other day.
That's been impressive.
Yeah.
We hope to next Wednesday at noon in the city council chamber to open up our new park on the north end of town where the traffic light is. We've now obtained property. I think we're right there. I'm counting on it, so I'm not calling the meeting, but we bought a couple of little pieces and we got some from Sibley. We have a big park on that intersection where the traffic light is on the north of Fiddler's Canyon. Now we have a plain white sheet. What do we want to build on it?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Well, your Veterans Park is so special. It's really not a huge amount of land, but what's been done with it and the way it's laid out, it's really neat.
We've been able to put together about 11 or 12 acres of ground out there. There'll be some commercial component in it next to the highway, but there'll be a big park, bigger probably than the Cedar Park down on Main Street.
Mayor, are you using part of your wrap tax for that?
We spent it all.
Oh, that's spent all.
We have a pickleball court.
Okay.
There goes all the money.
That is popular.
You can have pickleball or money, but you can't have both.
That's right. I'll quote you on that.
Feel free. Anything else to bring up in that last section here?
Is the 5th of September for the primary. I know it's just nobody is thinking about elections in September, but make sure that you all vote and tell your neighbors. It's important to have good representation both in municipal and congressional. So,
is there anyone in our counties that aren't in the 2nd district?
No.
All five of our counties?
We're all.
All five.
Well, we have a good chance to have local representation.
So, September 5th is the primary, and then November 21st is the general. Is that right?
Well, thanks to all the county representatives that are here. I know Jerry's not here, but I've been watching all the ads for Bryce because despite Zion's efforts to shut us down, Bryce has had declining numbers attending, and so their ads have been very, I think, impactful. But, we don't want to presume that just because Zion sneezes that everyone else catches a cold. But the facts are that tour operators like to see all of our parks, and if Zion's out of it, they go somewhere else. So,
I'm glad you brought that up. That's an important factor. Some people are probably already aware of this, but when international tourists book a bus tour, they're allowed to get complete refund on their entire trip if even one destination isn't available that's listed out as what they're going to get to see while they're on their trip. And so if Zion decides that they're going to shut down last minute and require permits or any other thing, then tour guides won't, travel guides won't send people to our entire region because they just know they're going to get dinged, so they're going to send them somewhere else, a different country even. And so this hurts our entire country when Zion shuts us down like that. So
they go to people who, when I say they, the park service takes these surveys of people in the park saying, would you, how dense or how many visitors would you like to have here, and the comment is that sometimes they show them pictures and say, would you like this? Well, everyone chooses less. But then when they follow up with the question, well, how is your overall experience here in the park? And it's all very positive. So they're not getting the results from their survey they want. So now they're just going to go rogue and
ignore all of what we say and what the surveys say and still try to limit park access.
Yeah, so the question they're asking is, you know, would you like to see 3 people on the trail, 0 people on the trail, or 10 people on the trail? And in reality, they're seeing thousands of people on the trail. And instead of asking the follow-up question, okay, would you rather see 1,000 people on the trail or not get to go at all? Everyone will say, I'd rather be able to go and see 1,000 people on the trail and not get to go at all. But they don't ask that question. It's, again, on those surveys that leads.
Once you go, you're in, and it's amazing. It's crowded.
So we're in those discussions, just so you know, that all of the economic benefits we're hoping that we all experience, we all, you know, do things together, and we share each other's wealth, so to speak, but we want you to know we're really fighting the Zion proposals that are negative to all of our economies.
Yeah.
Did the Cedar Breaks finish their visitor center?
It's almost done.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not sure what it is.
Are they still going to have some kind of a groundbreaking next? When is that?
For Cedar?
Cedar Breaks.
I don't know.
It's very
you
close.
Mean ribbon cutting?
Yeah, ribbon cutting. I give you the date.
Do you have it? Yeah, I don't. I drove by the other day and it was looked like it was pretty close.
I drove by yesterday. Still working on it. Yesterday.
And then another agency that's real, or not agency, but another national recreation area that's really quite friendly and good with communication and open to visitors and welcoming is the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area, which is Lake Powell and et cetera. So that's been, you know, very refreshing, and at least for our county, we're, you know, part of our, the eastern end of our county abuts the that area, and so that's been good when things go awry with the north rim of the Grand Canyon or Zion or what have you. We can at least at this point push people to Lake Powell for a day or two.
I had August 22nd at 10 a.m.
Cedar Breaks.
But that's 2 weeks. Last time I drove by, it didn't look 2 weeks to me.
And then lastly, along those lines, 2024 is the 100-year anniversary of film in Utah. Washington County Greater Zion is spearheading the celebration, and what we are doing is we've already talked about all 5 counties because all 5 counties have participated from 1924 to 1927. It's amazing how many films were filmed right in our back door. One about Genghis Khan called The Conqueror with John Wayne was filmed in Harrisburg, of all places, and you would know. So
Josie Wells was filmed in that Kane?
You know, there are probably 50 films in Kane County, so I have the entire list and book of it. There's stuff filmed in Beaver. It's amazing what was done, but we are pushing hard to make sure that if we lose things like Zion, et cetera, that the film industry will still want to come here.
Yeah.
And the number of resurgent Westerns, let alone other typical genre films, are coming. We need to make sure our legislators are not against the film incentives, because when you look at how much money that Horizon dumped into Washington County and Kane County, they'll never go back to Moab, by the way. They were unwelcome in Moab, despite their face, they cut their nose off. So having said that, we should all capitalize on good, clean money. And people say, yeah, but it's Hollywood. This is what's coming from some of the legislators. Oh, yeah, but it's Hollywood, and Hollywood is evil and corrupt. Excuse me? Not all of Hollywood is that way, so...
Look at Angel Studios, too.
Exactly. Angel Studios, for example. So that's next year, and you'll all be contacted in some way or another to help build that 100-year
heritage. You just reminded me of something important. So I was talking with our economic development guy yesterday about this, Kelly Stoll, and he was saying that it might not be a bad idea to have 5 County have a breakout committee or what have you in support of that film industry, because it does, the rural Utah film incentive It's a post-production, in case anyone's not familiar, it's a post-production, which means the filming company has to show their receipts of money they already spent in rural Utah, which is
before they can get any reimbursement.
And then they get up to 20% reimbursement, but only on certain purchases like accommodations and food and ancillary stuff like that. And so there's a lot of check valves to make sure that it's not just handouts and special interest, you know, crony capitalism.
Well, there's many of them just staying in our city for about 3 or 4 months at a time.
The daily outlay for Horizon is $440,000 a day. $440,000 a day. So that was meals, hotels, caterers.
And even like an ad will spend like $250,000 a week to film a car commercial or what have you. And that's money that is maybe we don't see very much of it as far as government, but other than sales tax and CRCC and stuff like that. But our constituents really see that money. It's something that fuels our economy, and even in times where it's not necessarily dependent on the normal industry cycles that we have here. So that's a big deal.
Well, they pay good money to landowners to just go on their land and use their property.
Yeah, especially as the national agencies are becoming more and more like, you can't have a drone on here, you can't even take a picture, blah, 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 blah.
They used our city property in two different locations, and we just let them. We just allowed it. Mm-hmm. We said, they can come. We're not going to make them pay us anything because we want them here.
That's awesome. What Kane County does, too. We don't charge. We just let the economy be boosted by it. And
we just had American Packaging Corporation open up, 275,000 square foot building.
Sweet,
amazing company. How many employees starting out, Garth? About 25. Skeleton crew, but eventually it could be up to
five. They're already making plans to double, add on, do another, be 500,000.
Impressive.
It's an electronic masterpiece.
Good job.
With y'all's recommendation, what do you think about putting it on the agenda for our next meeting to form a committee to be like an action committee?
I think we need to.
I think it'd be good to have, for example, a shared list of contacts for, like, if someone's, like, let's say someone's filming in Washington County and they need some, you know, additional access to makeup artists or whatever, and we've got a list of everybody in the 5-county region that, you know, lives in our areas that could help. But it would just, I think, streamline the process and not make it like every entity's working in a bubble, like a giant stress bubble of, oh no, they want 300 moccasins by tomorrow, and what do I do, you know?
Well, and they need to employ a bunch of people that live right in town to be part of their skeleton crew, but also just to do the regular work, to come in and visit our city office for permitting and that type of thing. They have many people.
Five of the coolest looking guys who were all part of the blacksmith shop were all from Beaver. They were all cowboys from Beaver. So the
probably last name was Evans.
I don't know, but they were fun to talk to, and they were all
the champions.
Yeah,
they didn't even have to dress up.
My mom's neighbor and her daughter were in it, and they were in there for about 16 days that they filmed, and they paid $150 each per day to go and do it. That's not a lot of money, but it brings money into your economy and help them. There's this little
summer jobs.
Yeah.
And we just need to make sure, because there are a handful of legislators that think that all of this is punks and porn. Mm-hmm. It's not. Right. And so we need to make sure we get on the same page.
Case in point, Angel Studios really wants to. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was just talking over you. Angel Studios wants to do more of the Chosen filming here. They historically have done it in Utah and Midlothian, Texas. And they want to do more in Utah, but Texas just passed like a $200 million tax film incentive. And so Texas is looking better and better, and Utah's looking worse and worse. You know, they really want to film here. They just need a little bit of incentive so they can go to their producers and say, and their backers, which is the people, and say, look, we're doing the best we can to keep costs down.
know.
Well, we'll talk with them on the 18th when the legislators come down as well, and then we're going to take them on a big, long hike into the wilderness, and if they agree with what we ask for, then we'll bring them
come back.
There will be no hunting accidents as long as you cooperate.
Did you guys read that story about the guy who had his brothers went to spread his ashes?
Yeah,
in oranges. His brother died, like, was lost, and they found his body after like 20 years, and now he had his ashes. He went out to Arches and ran out of water, and
they died.
And died. Yeah. 66 years old. I told him, I said, that's just bad luck.
Yeah.
So you do not do that. So that's what you're talking about. Take him somewhere similar.
So I know we're almost done, but is that something like Utah Tech and Southern Utah University could get into more film? I mean, is that a direction that you're looking at?
It would eventually go there. Utah Tech, yes. We have private individuals that are already building a studio to rival the one in Park City.
Okay.
We'll see where that goes.
Okay. That's just my
That's a good thought.
Thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sandstone really put it together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With that,
Sandstone.
I can do a motion to adjourn.
I can just adjourn.
She's the boss. Okay.
Okay. And with that, I will adjourn. The time is 3:05.